the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
It's the radio show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, with Dr. Michael Roizen, the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. With us every week, I'm Joe Galewski. Join us here on the show today by sending us an email. If you have a question or comment about a guest or a show or a topic, udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. Bridget is here today again, and we're on iHeartRadio Talk at Radio MD, or you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, to iHeartRadio Talk, a special news and update station that you can customize. Get the information specifically interesting to you. Go to iHeartRadio.com, download the app, go on the web and search for Talk in the main menu, then search for You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. In this hour, 20 after the hour, Dr. Gary Ginsberg with toxic, non-toxic topics, those little yellow pesticide flags on people's lawns at this time of year. What do they really mean? Dr. Ginsberg will talk about disinfectants in chicken processing, which is detrimental. And what does a specific skin protein have to do with cosmetic risks? Dr. Gary Ginsberg at 20 minutes after the hour. udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com with Dr. Mike. Let's peruse through these medical stories of the week. And why is it a good thing to sleep a lot, Dr. Mike, when you're sick?
Well, it's very interesting. The sleep improves your immune function. There was actually a study they did on fruit flies and their immunity by sleep depriving the fruit flies, and the ones that slept most after they got infected and regained sleep time had the best immunity compared to those who were sleep deprived and didn't get enough sleep. Of course, the best fighting infection were those who had slept normally beforehand and were allowed to sleep normally. So sleep does something to your immune system that allows it to fight infections better. And so that's the reason we all know that we sleep when we're sick, and that's a good thing.
I just found this story in the list of stories this week, and I don't have a piercing, but can you talk about that topic, things you should know about piercings? Can you discuss that one? I think that's interesting.
Yeah, I almost think we should get to Bridget on this. So, Bridget, I'm going to have you comment on it. But basically, it says piercings should be done by a professional, shouldn't be done when you're very young, because as you grow, what looks like a perfect piercing at age 5 will grow. It may grow into something very ugly. The second thing is you want the piercing to be in an area with high blood flow, so it heals fast and without pain. So there's certain areas on the ear and even nose and mouth that are better than others, or tongue. I don't like them. I don't like piercing any place but on the ear, obviously, for earrings. And the message is you really should go to a professional who does this a lot rather than your friend who is going to pierce your ears. Part of the reason for that is that this is a thing that will last a long time and could get very infected and cause a lot of problems. So it is something you should have a professional and should have them with trained and clean instruments. Bridget?
I thought that it was interesting that only 14% of people have piercings somewhere other than their earlobes. I would expect that to be higher. Is that just me? Or do you guys think
that? It's just your friends.
Just my
friends? No, it's just your friends.
That might be true. I thought that it was really interesting that they talk about not having your friends do it, because that was one mistake that I made when I was younger. I had my friends pierce my cartilage, and I still have a little bit of a lump on the back of it, even though I took the earring out a few years ago. So it hasn't fully healed, and it's about 4 years later. But more advice they give are that you could be allergic to the piercing, which is important for you to think about the kind of earring that's going in. They said that the jewelry containing nickel, cobalt, or white gold can cause allergic reactions. So it's important to have they recommend having stainless steel, titanium, or 14 or 18 karat gold, which I remember when I first got my ears pierced for my first hole, I used gold because that's what they recommended. And there's certain states that regulate it more than others, the piercing industry. So it's important to look at that online, maybe before you go, to see if your state regulates it and to make sure that you're going to a safe place for your piercing.
I see infants with piercings. What's your take on that?
What's the what?
Anybody? What's your take on infants, babies with piercings? Babies with piercings, Dr. Mike. Infants. Babies that have ears pierced. What's your take on that?
Well, the problem with that is that what looks like a perfect cosmetic piercing in a baby, as the baby grows and as the ear changes shape, that piercing may end up in a weird place and be very ugly rather than cosmetically beautiful. So my take is we shouldn't do piercings probably until after the teen years. Now, that's tough to say, but at least until they're in their, have had their growth spurt at age 12 to 14. Because otherwise, the shape of the ear, the shape of every other structure that you might possibly get pierced, may change greatly during that period of time.
Well, I remember my dad made my sister and I wait until we were 12 to get our ears pierced, and I remember thinking that my life was going to be over because all of my friends had their ears pierced years and years before 12 years old. I was definitely the last of all my friends to get my ears pierced at 12.
Well, we should tell your dad that he did a good thing because by waiting, he had a much more cosmetic result.
And here's a question. What is more detrimental to your body? What is more detrimental to your body? Is it piercings or tattoos?
Well, a piercing, if you have it in the ear, obviously, there's no problem. It's accepted. Piercing other places can create a hole that infection can get in. That has a long-term cosmetic belief. On the other hand, I can't remember who said it, but they said a tattoo is a permanent reminder of a temporary feeling. So a tattoo has more permanence, more observation, more difference. And the problem with a tattoo, the classic or most tattoos have some problem getting rid of, and especially if heavy metals have been used in them. So the red is usually cadmium. That's a heavy metal that's a poison to your body, and it will leach out of the tattoo and go to the rest of your body and literally cause heart failure as you get older. That is, your heart is less able to function well and doesn't pump blood as well, so you feel more tired as you get older if you've had cadmium absorbed in your body. So the point is, I think tattoos are probably worse as long as the piercing hasn't gotten infected. And infected, obviously, if you have a piercing on your face and it gets infected, that can cause enormous disfigurement. And we get to see some of the bad outcomes of this, but thank God they're a small number.
Hey, it's youdocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com for any questions or comments on stories or issues you may have for Dr. Mike Roizen, and also on iHeartRadio Talk. We'll go to Dr. Gary Ginsberg for what's toxic and what's not right after the break. Those little pesticide flags on people's lawns. Gary's got some answers as to what those may mean. And what does a specific skin protein have to do with cosmetic risks? And more with Dr. Gary Ginsberg. Coming up on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamin C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
You still rely on sugar or caffeine for energy? B12 is known as the energy vitamin. It nourishes your body, supporting mental function and vitality. Problem is, B12 is hard to absorb. Did you know a recent study showed almost 4 out of 10 people had B12 levels in the low normal to deficiency range? This applied to both young and old, even those with adequate meat intake. So it isn't just vegans or older folks who need to be concerned. Until now, the alternative was getting a shot at the doctor's office. What if we had a B12 offer that was simple? Liposomes deliver B12 painlessly. No doctor visit. Why not discover what B12 can offer you? Drink the new liposomal form. Right now, you can get a bottle for 50% off at B12offer.com. This limited time B12 offer is unique and it's easy. Just go to B12offer.com for 50% off. That's B12offer.com.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize a message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
Hi there, I'm Juliana Rancic.
And I'm Bill Rancic.
I love my job as an entertainment reporter, but what I love even more now is being a new mom.
And you are a great mom. I'm
Thanks,
very
honey.
Proud of you, honey.
Thanks.
Like any responsible parent, Juliana and I wanted the best for our little son, Duke, and that includes a healthy future. We know firsthand that life is pretty unpredictable. We didn't anticipate getting Juliana's cancer diagnosis or even having challenges with pregnancy. I don't think anyone does. Mm-hmm. But as parents, we can plan for the unexpected.
That's why we want to share our decision to bank Duke's cord blood when he was born. The blood in a newborn's umbilical cord contains millions of young, valuable stem cells that are used to treat childhood conditions like cancers and blood diseases and are being studied as potential therapies for cerebral palsy and even autism.
Julianne and I are proud to partner with Cord Blood Registry and the Healthy Futures Campaign to help raise awareness about the value of cord blood and the options for saving or donating it.
We encourage you to take action for your family's healthy future. Go to parentsguidecordblood.org to learn more.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Brought to you by YouBeauty.com and Morning and Night Multivitamins. Thanks to all of our great affiliates along the line on RadioMD that are listening, and we thank you for being with us every week. Also, if you're listening on iHeartRadio Talk, udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com is the email address for Dr. Mike Roizen on this show weekly and time now every day, every weekend at this time, it's What's Toxic and What's Not with Dr. Gary Ginsberg. WhatsToxic.com is his website, which is terrific as well. Dr. Ginsberg gets us four topics every week that we can discuss. Dr. Mike, among this week's four, what do you like the best? What do you want to start with today?
Well, let's start with the sign, the Gary Ginsberg's mailbox, and what should you do when your neighbor has a sign that their lawn has just been fertilized? What different behavior should you have, Gary?
Well, I'm not sure how friendly you are with your neighbor, but assuming that your kids and pets run back and forth across the backyard or the front yard, the little yellow, oftentimes it's yellow, pesticide application sign that is required by law in 20 states to be put on the lawn after treatment basically says that there is exposure possible to an active pesticide ingredient that could be toxic to especially young children and pets. So stay off the lawn. And the sign has to be up for 24 hours. That's the law. And oftentimes people take them down after that because that's what you think. The reality is that the pesticide levels are typically high 2 days out, and really you should wait 3 days before you walk on the lawn for a lot of the types of chemical treatments that we would be worried about on the lawn. So the first rule of thumb is if you do use or your neighbor does use such treatments, stay off of it for 3 days. And that could be pretty hard to do. Because, you know, you want to use your lawn, you forget, if you do pick the flag up, I would leave the flag out. If I would tell my neighbor, leave the flag out for 3 days to remind us not to go on the lawn, because that's how long it's going to take for these residues to go down. The other thing that they found in some studies is that the chemicals, especially on a warm day, can go up into the air, and you're breathing it in your breathing zone, whether you're sitting in your chair outside or whether it even gets into the house. And so with the windows open, so certainly when the lawn company, if you use one, and if they are treating your lawn with insecticides and fungicides and molducicides, I would say keep the windows closed. And also, you know, you don't want to have toys and other things, you know, the dog may want to use or the kids may want to use out and around during that time. So with all those precautions and the fact that, you know, it's going to be hard to stay off your lawn for 3 days, you know, a lot of people are thinking much harder about organic lawn care. And I know in Connecticut, where I live, that a number of we have laws now in Connecticut about schools, and certain towns have laws about their public grassy areas being pesticide-free and going organic. And they are making it work. So I think the wave of organic non-pesticidal lawn care treatments. In Canada, it's very common for whole towns to go organic with their open grass areas as well. So the fact that it's still being done in neighborhoods fairly, you know, unconsciously, too. I think people aren't meaning to pollute their lawn, their kids, their dogs, their indoor air with pesticides. There's just not enough awareness about the potential exposures and the potential risks. You know, there have been a number of studies where dogs living in homes that have, you know, chemical treatment lawn care have higher rates of various cancers. So, you know, dogs are seen as the sentinel for human potential risk in that kind of a case. So anyway, my rule of thumb on this is if you don't need to have the perfect lawn, if you can get by with a few weeds, they'll still be green, it'll still be healthy, probably healthier if you go with an organic lawn care company.
You know, advertising for these products is like the advertising you see for fast food. I mean, how many times this spring have we seen the ads, Gary, for the product? Yes. With the guy with a Scottish brogue, feed your lawn, feed it. You know, how many times have you seen that commercial this spring, right? It's on,
right,
all the time.
And And the thing about a lot of those products are, you know, that it'll often be feeding the lawn with a fertilizer and maybe some extra grass seed to fill in some bare spots. But oftentimes they don't tell you there's a hidden ingredient in there, which is, you know, insecticide. So you really have to be aware of what you're buying at the garden store and try to feed your lawn organically. It's much healthier for the soil. You know, the whole concept of pesticides is integrated pest management. Use the least amount you need. And if you have a healthy lawn, one that has a natural bacterial, you don't want to kill things in your lawn. You want to promote a natural ecology in your lawn, and that will make the grass virulent, healthy, drought-resistant, pest-resistant. You won't need a lot of pesticide.
All right, let's get down to this topic before we break for the bottom of the hour, and involves disinfectants in chicken processing that may be toxic. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I was a little surprised at this story. You know, I'm always concerned not just about the home environment and kids and moms and you know, the most vulnerable people, but also workers on the line. And sometimes, you know, the real hardcore exposure stories come in the workplace. And this is interesting that USDA inspectors going into chicken plants, they become sensitized to the chemicals that are used to disinfect chicken before it gets packaged up in cellophane and goes off to market. So, look, we're all concerned about salmonella in chicken, and the lower the counts of bacterial counts on chicken, the better. You know, and that comes from the way chickens are raised and bred in industrial type settings where they give each other a lot of bacteria, and some of it can be pretty pathogenic to us. So, okay, I buy into the idea that you've got to disinfect chicken, but the chemicals that they're using are harsh bleach-like chemicals. They're high oxygen, like peroxide-type chemicals, very irritating, and workers on the line may have gloves on, but they're breathing in a lot of these sprays that then are causing allergic reactions. So the answer to the bacterial problem is increasing asthma rates, and that's not a good situation for public health. Fortunately, according to FDA, these antimicrobial washes, as they call them, do break down and are rinsed off when you rinse off. You should definitely rinse off your chicken before you start cutting it up and or cooking it. You want to make sure you get this layer of chlorine bleach off the chicken before you sit down to eat it.
You know, Gary, there's a series of studies, though, that washing the chicken spreads salmonella to other areas of your kitchen and is something you shouldn't do, that you should cook it so you get rid of the salmonella before you wash. And what you're saying is, well, that may not be right because they use a Clorox or chlorine thing before,
right,
and you don't want to bake in the chlorine. We need a longer section on this.
Okay, Mike, yeah, that's fine, but I think if you carefully wash the chicken off in the sink, you're not going to spread salmonella all over the place.
All right, Dr. Gary Ginsberg, every week, join us weekly for him and go to his website, whatstoxic.com. Whatstoxic.com. Coming up after the break, more of the top medical news stories of the week. Hey, if you're a lady, have one of these apple shapes, how does that connect to maybe breast cancer? That and more coming up on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Kids often test parental limits and rules, and sometimes parents decide enough is enough. That's when a timeout may be effective. Timeouts stop children from getting attention after they misbehave. Timeouts work best for children between the ages of 2 and 5, but can be effective for kids as old as 10 in some cases. A rule of thumb is 1 minute of timeout for every year of your child's age. For example, a 4-year-old would get a 4-minute timeout. Some guidelines for a timeout. Give the timeout immediately after the unacceptable behavior so your child knows why she's being disciplined. Explain clearly why the behavior was unacceptable. Calmly place your child in a quiet, boring, but secure place. If she gets up, quietly explain that her timeout isn't over and return her to her seat. When it is over, wipe the slate clean and remember to praise your child each time and every time she shows acceptable behaviors. With a minute for Kim. I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Yes, udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. We'll get to the story about the apple shape and cancer in a second, but I usually take a couple of minutes to find some interesting tidbits to add to the show. They're a little bit unusual things, but they're fun things. That have to do with health and fixing things that aren't very healthy. For example, a pizzeria in California is giving somebody $2,500 that they can finish their pizza in under an hour. So far, 15 people have tried. 15 people have failed to finish the Big Kahuna. The pizza is 30 inches across and weighs 15 pounds. Now listen to this. The cheese alone is 6,500 calories.
Oh my God!
So this is not sharing a pizza. This is you having it by yourself.
Yes, this is
just
the Big Kahuna.
6,500.
6,500 calories of cheese. I mean, physically though, think about that. You can't eat you physically, Mike. You can't eat that, right? I mean, that's why they're offering such a big prize. if you can finish just under an hour. Isn't it physically impossible to eat something that quickly, that big? I mean, think about it.
Well, physically, what you have to do is be able to empty your stomach. Your stomach's the size, even the biggest stomachs can't accommodate that. And so you've got to empty your stomach, but the fat you take in with the cheese, any fat inhibits emptying your stomach. So it's going to be a painful experience, and you shouldn't be able to do it. So I agree, it's going to be very tough.
And no one has so far. Now, every fast food chain now is trying to be competitive with the other fast food chain to get a percentage of the breakfast market, and the entire industry has been ramping up ways with new egg creations or by defending their turf. For example, like McDonald's is offering free coffee during breakfast hours. Here's a rundown I found. I came up with some of the fast food breakfast options available to us today in this country. McDonald's, eggs and meat and cheese on a biscuit or English muffin. Starbucks, eggs and meat and cheese on a slightly more expensive English muffin, if you know what I mean, if you go to Starbucks. Burger King, eggs and meat and cheese on a croissant. Taco Bell, eggs and meat and cheese in a taco. Subway, eggs and meat and cheese in a sub roll. White Castle, eggs and meat and cheese in a Belgian waffle. And Dunkin' Donuts, eggs and meat and cheese on donuts. Just listening to that list, I can feel my blood slowing down. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, what it is it's a great thing for the Cleveland Clinic. You know, we've been number one in heart care for, I think it's 19 years in a row. So this is whoever is doing these breakfasts is trying to feed the Cleveland Clinic's, if you will, income structure, being a provider, sending patients to us. I mean, McDonald's and Burger King and all these other places, Wendy's, Starbucks, et cetera, it's like they're trying to give us more business, trying to make the U.S. less competitive for jobs, trying to increase the cost of health care. It's ridiculous.
I mean, compare this to just a couple of generations. You know, compare this to a couple generations ago when our grandparents had to settle for eggs and meat and cheese on a plate, you know? So now, I guess that's what they call breakfast progress today, but that's the competition for the fast food dollar out there. Okay, the so-called apple shape, Dr. Mike, and the connection to possibly a risk factor for breast cancer. What can you fill us in on with that?
Well, it used to be thought that it wasn't where your fat was that was important, as important as whether you were overweight or not. And that comes from some very good data on the fact that visceral fat, that is fat in your belly, causes inflammation and is clearly more associated with cardiovascular disease, that's heart disease, stroke, memory loss, impotence, decay in orgasmic quality, wrinkling of your skin, all the things where arteries are impeded, than is fat in your hips. So it used to be fat in your hips was relatively protective. Now, this is a study that says, well, let's factor out weight in general and say, does apple versus pear, and this was self-selected, are you an apple or a pear, rather than some harder data, but in people who said they were an apple, which meant they accumulated fat in their belly, they were as increased risk of heart disease as is people who were pear-shaped. That is, women who had weight problems, that is, that were overweight, were at increased risk of breast cancer, but it didn't matter whether it was an apple or a pear. So this isn't good news in the sense that, well, I'm an apple, I don't have to worry. No. If you're an apple, you have increased weight and you have to worry. It's just you don't have to worry more than someone. You don't have to worry more than someone who is pear-shaped. All weight appears to increase breast cancer risk. That tells us that it may not be inflammation that's causing some of this breast cancer risk. It may be the storage of hormones, such as hormones in your breast, in your fat tissue. Fat does metabolize whether it's in your hips or your belly, fat does metabolize estrogenic substances into something that is more worrisome for the heart, for your breast cancer. And that may be the reason that the storage of that estrogenic metabolite in fat is the problem.
Okay, we talk a lot about coffee, Dr. Mike, and benefits of coffee. And one of the top stories this week talks about another benefit from caffeine, and what would that be?
Well, the other benefit from caffeine is it that an extra cup a day decreases your risk of diabetes, type 2 diabetes. So we know that coffee, if you get over 4 to 6 cups a day, decreases Alzheimer's disease, decreases Parkinson's disease, decreases all-cause mortality, and decreases 9 cancers. And let me go carefully. It's a genetic thing. If you're a slow metabolizer of caffeine, you will get the side effects, anxiety, gastric upset, headaches, etc. from it, and abnormal heartbeats. And that means that you're getting the side effects and not the benefits. So the group that gets the benefit of coffee are what we call fast metabolizers. So if you're a fast metabolizer, get rid of the coffee fast, the caffeine fast, so that you don't have one of those 4 side effects. Then you get a lot of the benefits, and one of the benefits in this large study of women was a much lower chance of developing type 2 diabetes. So coffee has that benefit as well.
Okay, I got a break coming up, and then we're going to talk about the number one top medical story of the week. We talk a lot about the medical breakthroughs and stories every week, the number one story after the break. But before we go to the break, Dr. Mike, briefly, some new evidence about ginseng, right, and how it might be able to prevent flu.
Right, and it's a specific ginseng, so it's not just American ginseng. In fact, it isn't American ginseng, and you're going to have to tune back in to find out what type of the ginseng it is.
Okay, and that'll be coming up after the break. And again, the number one medical story of the week, it has to do with stimulating brain cell growth. That's pretty interesting, so stick around for that. And I also found a story this week that suggests, according to studies, that 12 million Americans are misdiagnosed every year. And with all the medical advances in screening, testing, and scanning, why would the number be so high? More on that coming up as well. Here on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of 2. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together, we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. It's the time of year when colds and viruses begin making their rounds through schools and families. Sometimes parents will ask for antibiotics, believing they will shorten an illness, allowing their child to return to school or child care quicker. But antibiotics are not usually the answer. Antibiotics are powerful drugs that need to be used cautiously. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses and will not reduce the length of the illness or the symptoms. They are highly effective in treating bacterial infections such as strep throat or bacterial pneumonia. But overuse of antibiotics can make them less effective when truly needed. Some bacteria strains have become resistant to antibiotics as a result of antibiotic overuse. The best way to treat a viral infection is with rest, fluids, and TLC. So feel free to baby your child who has the cold or the flu. Give them lots of love and care, but save the antibiotics for when they are truly needed. And for more information on children's health, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Let's get to the top two medical stories of the week this week before we end the hour on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. Number two. Is an inflammation biosensor needed to help you show your aging, Dr. Mike?
Well, this is most interesting because what this study showed was that we get old, we get frail, we get tired when our mitochondria, that's a small set of organelles or small sort of DNA inside our all of our cells seem to have inflammatory changes in them or changes that reflect injury to them. And you repair your mitochondria, they repair themselves when they aren't inflamed. So one of the things we want to do is avoid inflammation in our mitochondrial DNA. It's the second set of DNA inside your body, and so that's what you really want to protect, your mitochondrial DNA. And you need to have a way of looking at inflammation. So we've often said that blood sugar is a very important marker because it shows when you change your proteins and harm your protein. Well, inflammation apparently is when you harm this important energy, your mitochondria, your energy center. And so when you harm them, that area doesn't work as well. So it may be that this is the major thing we all need is to protect each of us, that is, do self-protection so that we don't get inflammation in our bodies, or if we do, we immediately figure out what's causing it and stop doing that or get treatment for it. And so I actually think that the biomarkers or biosensors I want, it isn't another one on my wrist, that just tells me whether I'm sleeping or not. It's one on my wrist that tells me what not only what my steps are that I've taken. That is a pedometer. So when I look at it, I want a pedometer. I do want something that tells me my blood sugar. And then I want an inflammation marker that lets me know what's causing inflammation and how to avoid it.
All right, we've gone to the top of the medical stories this week, and this apparently is number one. And tell us more about a laser, Dr. Mike, that could stimulate brain growth.
Well, this was very interesting, and I questioned Dr. Zivin more about it after our radio show last week. Dr. Zivin is the person who developed TPA for treatment of stroke. TPA is the agent that is a clot buster that busts clots that go to your heart that you get immediately when you have a heart attack if you get to the emergency room, so that you open up the arteries so that then stents or coronary artery bypass graft can be done. It has to be given in a certain period so that you can open it up. Well, with the brain, it was an hour and a half period, but the earlier in that hour and a half, and this was a set of studies done that were released last week by in the Journal of the American Medical Association Neurology, that showed how you could, with stroke centers, improve that and improve outcome. Dr. Zivin went further and said not only is that important, but he said, in fact, the most important thing is making the diagnosis, recognizing what's going on, that you're having a stroke, you're not being able to speak, you've got something dizzy, you respond immediately and get to the hospital when you have those stroke symptoms. So you can go and look at that, and we'll maybe do another show on stroke symptoms to spot whether it's just clumsy speech or not being able to find the right word, or your hand or leg are clumsy, or you fall down or something like that. But it also is, so it is finding that and getting to the hospital, and that's the main cause. But he said they've tried a new thing, which is a laser with a specific wavelength that when you shave your hair off, the laser travels through bone and can get to specific areas of brain and stimulate regrowth. And when you look at this, it appears that this is able to do this. This laser is able to do it in different tissues. That is, when you focus this laser on an injured heart early enough in the heart attack, it appears to stimulate your stem cells to go to that area of your heart and to start to regrow so that you don't have permanent decrease in pumping power of your heart. And he was very, very optimistic. He said in the animal models, if humans react the same way the animals do in sending stem cells to the injured area, this may be a radical breakthrough in getting those areas that are most vulnerable to permanent damage that we can't replace yet. You know, we can replace hips and we can replace knees, but and not perfectly, obviously, but if you replace heart tissue or kidney tissue or lung tissue or brain tissue in this way, that's a major breakthrough in our ability to function at the peak level for much longer. So, Joe, what it means is you're going to have to keep working for a lot longer, keep on this show for a lot longer, because you're going to be able to live an awful lot longer.
And that would make my wife happy to get me out of the house a lot longer, too. Let me ask you this quickly, Dr. Mike. Let me quickly, three separate studies show that 12 million Americans a year, or 5% of all patients, are misdiagnosed as a result of doctors failing to follow up on red flags for cancer and other serious illnesses. With all the medical advances in screening and testing and scanning that we have, in your opinion, why would that number be so high?
Well, part of it is that the abnormalities are now flagged in the chart, but we don't always have electronic medical records that flag them for us. And when we do, we're so busy, we sometimes miss them. The other part of the problem is a lot of them are, if you will, there's so many tests that we now do get that indicate a little bit of a problem. We make the diagnosis wrong. We have a, for example, an infection of the breast or of your prostate rather than a cancer. And it's very tough pathologically to read them differently. So you've got to get, it's the reason we get second opinions. They can get misread and misdiagnosed. So always get a second opinion. Always follow up and make sure you know the test results yourself, because no one has as much interest in doing this than you do. So that's the reason is pursue it as hard as you can by pursuing it yourself.
Well, thank you for that. And I hope you learned something on today's show. For Dr. Mike Roizen, for Bridget, for Sonar, our more than capable engineer, we thank you for listening today to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamins C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s, but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game-changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good-tasting, and all-natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's OMEGA, TakeOmega.com.